If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Philippians, would you please? The book of Philippians. It's amazing to me how the Lord speaks to our heart, Brother Vince. I wasn't studying. I was trying to mow and get some things done around the house. We've been busy around the church this week. And the Lord put a thought on my heart. I want to say this. Brother Connor did a great job in Sunday school. I'm glad the Lord has access to my heart. I'm glad I know what it is for the Lord to speak to my heart. Amen. And we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, and then we're going to be traveling back over to the book of John and the book of Mark some. And this is Palm Sunday, the Sunday that Jesus enters into Jerusalem riding on the colt of an ass on a little donkey, a donkey that's never been ridden, and a donkey that was borrowed. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And the same people that are crying Hosanna in just a little while are going to be standing around as they cry, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus knew exactly what was going on, and yet he went on anyway. In Philippians chapter number 2, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, if you will. Let me read just a few verses. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The thought that came across my heart and mind was, let this mind be in you. And I want to go to the scripture that describes the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and look at his mind. Because the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Pray with me and pray for me. You may be seated. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible. I pray, God, that as my Bible is opened, and our Bibles are opened, that our hearts too would be opened to the truth of thy word. Lord, I know today there's a lot of things that could distract us. I pray, Lord, that you'd keep that to a minimum, please. Help us, Lord, to be putting our mind on the things above, not on things on the earth. And help us for a little while, I pray. This preacher needs your help, that I might be a help to this people. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Go back with me, if you will, in the Bible to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. I don't know what I would title the message today. It would, maybe a good title would be, let this mind be in you. Another title might be, this kind of mind. As I examined the mind of Christ on this Palm Sunday, this triumphal entry as he rides into Jerusalem, I can honestly say that I'd like to have the kind of mind that he had. Amen. Knowing what he was facing, I'd still like to have that kind of mind. Thank you for being here. The Bible said in Mark 11 and verse number 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. By the way, that's where some of you are sitting this morning. There's a place where two ways meet. You're either going to go with God or you're going to go away. There's no one here that wants to force you to do anything, including Jesus. But I tell you, the Bible said, we beseech you in Christ's stead. That word beseech is beg. And Paul is saying, I'm begging you. If Christ were standing here, he would beg you to get right with God. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Connor testified in Sunday school this morning about a time in his life when he lost the joy of the Lord. And he taught us about a revival meeting when Brother Coulter was preaching. When he submitted to the Lord and God gave him his joy back. Ain't that wonderful? That's another place where two ways meet. You may be saved and be miserable. God don't want you to be miserable. He wants you to be full of joy and peace, love, long-suffering, and gentleness, and meekness, and faith, goodness, temperance. The Bible said, against such there is no law. And then when they went their way, they found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosened. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why, what do ye, loosen the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. I want to talk about the mind of our Lord as he's going through this experience. And I want to make application because I believe all scripture is written by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. And God wants us to not just know the Bible, he wants us to live the Bible. He wants us to incorporate these truths into our life. What kind of mind did Jesus have here? I've got four things I'm going to share with you this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing. The first thing I see is, it comes to my mind because of an Old Testament scripture that God brought to my mind. And that is, he had perseverance in his mind. Jesus knew about the opposition. Jesus knew about the crucifixion. He knew that before the foundation of the world. And yet he pressed on. If you look at John chapter number 11 for just a moment, we'll be going back and forth between John 11 and Mark 11. In John chapter 11, if you go down to verse number 45, I believe it is, listen to what the Word of God said here. No, that's not right, I don't think. Let's see here. John chapter 11. Yes, the Bible said here in verse 45 of John 11, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Is that not a good thing? We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But look at the next verse. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what the things Jesus had done. So there's some people happy about this triumphal entry. There's other people that are angry. There's opposition rising up. Their blood is boiling because the crowds are thronging the Lord Jesus and following the Lord Jesus. I read in another scripture last night as I studied that many of those, even of the Jews, they believed on him, but they were afraid to say anything about it because they would get kicked out of the synagogue. That's one of the saddest things I can think of. Amen. I want to stand for Jesus. If you kick me out of here, I'll just have to go out. Amen. I want to stand for Jesus. Amen. I like what one preacher said years ago. If you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I want to stand for the Word of God. Having done all, stand. Amen. There were people that were standing with Jesus. Listen about the perseverance thing here to Isaiah chapter number 50. I think this paints it well. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters. Again, this is prophesied 700 years before it happens. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting, for the Lord God will help me. He said, therefore shall I not be confounded. Now here's what I'm looking for. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He's going into Jerusalem at one place in the scripture. His disciples are even trying to discourage him from doing that. They hate you over there. Amen. But I'm telling you, our Lord knew what it was to persevere in spite of opposition. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you live for God, the opposition's going to come. You might as well mark it down. This is not about a bed of roses or a life of ease. The Bible said, in all them that live godly in Christ Jesus. You think about that. Amen. Shall face persecution. Amen. Listen to this story. I never read it before, but I thought it was a good thing to go with this perseverance that Jesus has in his mind. The story is told that Andrew Jackson's boyhood, his friends just couldn't understand how he became a famous general and then the president of the United States. They knew of other men who had greater talent, but who never succeeded. One of Jackson's friends said, why, Jim Brown, who lived right down the pike from Jackson, was not only smarter, but he could throw Andy 3 times out of 4 in a wrestling match. But look where Andy is now. Another friend responded, how did there happen to be a 4th time? Didn't they usually say 3 times and out? Sure, they were supposed to, but not Andy. He would never admit that he was beat. He would never stay throwed. Jim Brown would get tired, and on the 4th try, Andrew Jackson would throw him and be the winner. Picking up on that idea, someone said, the thing that counts is not how many times you are throwed, but whether you're willing to stay throwed. Amen? We may face setbacks, but we must take courage and go forward in faith. Then, through the Holy Spirit's power, we can be the eventual victor over sin and the world. The battle is the Lord's, and there is no excuse for us to stay throwed. I like that. Say amen. Listen, there have been times when you could count me down, but thank God, because of the blessed Scripture and the blessed Spirit of the living God, you can never count me out. Amen. God gave me something in my soul that made me want to go on and go on and persevere. That used to be preached, but it's not preached anymore. Listen. Listen. God wants us to know that as he rode into Jerusalem, he knew what was coming. And he went on anyway. I say this and I say it humbly, but I don't know what we're going to face before we get out of here. If you're paying attention to current events, honey, this thing ain't going exactly like they thought it was going to go. It just keeps smoldering. and just keeps getting a little bigger. Well, let me just say something to you real quick. I don't want to bust your bubble, but listen, we can holler peace and work for peace and work towards peace, but the Word of God said when they say peace and safety, you better mark her down, then cometh sudden destruction. As travail upon a woman with child. I'm just telling you, beloved, you better read the whole Scripture and you better know Jesus is coming again. Amen. And beloved, listen, I believe things are being, the whole stage in the world is being set. If somebody would step out on the stage right now and say, I'll give you peace and I'll give you prosperity, the whole world would swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You say, why did you say that? That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. They're going to swallow a lie. You say, what are you going to do? I ain't going to have to worry about it. I'll already be with Jesus. I know the Bible. Amen. God's people, the church is going out of here. But right now, we need to persevere. And then there was something else that the Lord spoke to my heart about. The preparation that was on his mind. I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. You read after commentators, and they're men just like I am. But some of those commentators, they say things like this. Well, Jesus had already prearranged with that man about the colt of the ass. Maybe he did. The Bible don't say. I don't know. But I know my God. He don't have to prearrange anything. He could just send some disciples over there to ask, and God put in that old boy's heart, said, well, I heard about this Jesus. If Jesus needs him, take him on, boys. Amen. The preparation. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at there? Well, if Jesus had preparation in his mind, don't you think you and I ought to have preparation in our mind? We're headed towards Easter. You know, there's people this week going to spend more time looking for a dress than they are praying. More time looking for a suit than they are praying. Listen, I'm not fussing this morning, but you know I'm telling it right. More time watching TV. More time in March Madness. You understand where I'm coming from. If we're going to prepare, then it's going to take a heart that's prepared. And we should be prepared. God gave me three things. Number one, we should be prepared to meet the Lord. Honey, Easter 2026 may never arrive. Did you hear what I said? It may never arrive. If you're here this morning, you're saved. Jesus steps out on a cloud this week and says, come up hither. We're gone. You talk about a sunrise service, Brother Vince. Glory to God, we're going to have one. Amen. And then your preacher may not even live till next Sunday. I have no, you say, well, Pastor, I wouldn't talk like that. You don't have any guarantee you'll be here next Sunday either. You need to prepare to meet God. And then I believe we ought to prepare to be identified with the Lord. I told you a while ago about those Jews that were getting saved, and yet they were not going to be identified because they didn't want to get kicked out. Their religion meant more to them than their relationship. By the way, I'm going to say this. I hope it don't hurt nobody, but if it does, it does. There's people staying in dead churches. The churches are dried up and dead. And they hang right in there because that's where Mama went. That's where Papa went. It shouldn't be that way. I don't know about you. I want to be alive when he comes. I'm not talking about just living, amen, in this body. I'm talking about living in Christ. The life I now live in, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We should be prepared to meet the Lord. We should be prepared to be identified with the Lord. And then we should be prepared to serve the Lord. What are you doing for Jesus? What am I doing for Jesus? Did you know it takes preparation to serve the Lord? It takes prayer. It takes study. It takes being sensitive to the blessed Holy Spirit of the living God. We should prepare to serve the Lord. Jesus on this day, this triumphal entry, he has perseverance in his mind. He has preparation in his mind. But there's something else that Jesus has. He has a position in his mind. What do you mean, Pastor, by that? Well, he didn't come riding a stallion. It was a position of humility. Did you know that God resisteth the proud? That he giveth grace to the humble? The Bible said he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's several times, I knew of one in the scripture, but I ran across another one a couple of weeks ago where a proud look is talked about. Just a proud look. And God can't stand that. I don't know what it was like to be behind Jesus that day or in front of Jesus that day, but I know one thing. That man came down that street just like he came in this world, as humbly. I just reminded of Brother Rick how my grandpa used to pray. At the end of his prayer, he'd say, God, we humbly beg you. The word was beg, but it came out more like bag. We humbly beg you. Oh, we could use some more beggars in the church. Some more people that are humble. Amen. A position. Jesus established that he would enter Jerusalem riding a colt. He deliberately chose a young donkey, not a stallion. That was a mistake the Jews made. They thought that he was coming to set up his kingdom right then, right there. They were excited about that. But they weren't excited about this death, burial, and resurrection thing. That's what made it all possible. In that day, to come riding on the colt of an ass, as opposed to a mighty war horse, was to come as a man of peace. Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem as a conquering general, but as a suffering servant. He was on his way to the cross. It's been sung about this morning. On his way to Calvary. So what kind of mind did Jesus have this day? He had perseverance in his mind. He had preparation in his mind. He had a position in his mind, a position of humility. But this is really where I want to key in for just a few minutes. He had a people. He had a people on his mind. I'm going to show you some things here this morning. It just kept, last night I started chewing on this just around the text about the kind of people that he had on his mind. Turn with me back to John chapter 12. John chapter number 12. Verse number 1 and 2 here, the Bible said, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. You say, Pastor, who did he have on his mind? He had on his mind those who loved him. I want to ask a question. I'm going to ask you publicly, how many of you is guilty of loving him this morning? You don't want to know why we love him? Because he first loved us. We got nothing to brag about that. But I'm glad I love him. And then not only were those who loved him, those people on his mind, but there were those who worshipped him. Look at verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. He had on his mind those who loved him, but he also had on his mind those who worshipped him, those who deemed him worthy of everything that they had. And then in verse number 4, There's somebody else that he has on his mind. Look at verse 4. The Bible said, "Then said one of them of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but that because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying. Has she kept this? For the poor you always you have with you, but me you have not always." So there's the people who loved him. There's the people who worshiped him. But Jesus has got somebody else on his mind. Those who would betray him. You say, "Pastor, you cannot believe that Jesus loved the likes of Judas." If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "All these commandments have I kept from my youth up." And Jesus said, "Yet one thing thou lackest. Go sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me." And the Bible said he went away sorrowful, but there's something else in the text. He, Jesus, beholding him, the rich young ruler, loved him. Jesus knew he wasn't going to follow him, but that didn't keep him from loving him. That was a happy day in my life. The Bible said, "But God commendeth his love toward us after we got saved." No! In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He's not waiting on you to do anything to love you.
Amen.
Those who would betray him were on his mind. In John chapter 12 and verse number 10, "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." The Bible's talking about, look at verse number 19. "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." Not only did he have those who loved him on his mind, and those who worshiped him on his mind, and those who would betray him on his mind, but he had those who would crucify him on his mind. And then if you look at John chapter 12 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "Because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Drop down to verse number 44. The Bible said, "Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." He also had on his mind those who would believe on him. Thank God. And then there were those, look at John chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm trees and they went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt." Jesus also had on his mind those who would bless him and those who would praise him. What a blessing. In verse number 16, there's somebody else. "These things understood not the disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they the things that were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." He also had on his mind those that would remember him. The Bible said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." We need to be praying that America will not forget, but we will remember as a nation. We need to remember as God's people what God has done for us. Then there were those that would testify of him. Look in John chapter 12, verse 17 through 18. The Bible said, "The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, they bear record." They were testifying. This is Him. This is Him. This is He. For this cause the people also met Him, for that they had heard that He had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after Him. There were those that would testify of Him. Those who wanted to see Him. Look in John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, there are going to be all kinds of people come to the Easter services. And they're going to come to see all kinds of things. But oh God, give us the people that want to see Jesus. That want to see Jesus. Want to see Jesus work in hearts and in lives. We would see Jesus. In verse 23, down through verse number 27, that Jesus said, The hour has come, the Son of God should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Look at this. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall be my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. He had on his mind those who would follow him. Ain't that a blessing? Are you a follower of Jesus? Amen. I hope so. I hope you're following the Lord. And then in chapter 35, it gets a little, chapter 12, verse 35, it gets a little bit on the negative side here. The Bible said, Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while, and the light is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. Look down here in verse number, These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Look at verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. I'm reminded of the rich man. In hell he lift up his eyes. You get down to the end of the text. I believe it's in Luke 16. You get down to the end of the text and he said, send Lazarus. He's talking to Abraham. Send Lazarus. I've got five brethren. Let him go back and tell him. And the text tells us, neither will they believe, though one rose from the dead. Here's a bunch of people that walked with Jesus, that saw the miracles of Jesus, and yet the Word of God said, they believed not. Those who would not believe on Him. And then there were those who would reject Him. Look at verse number 44. The Bible said, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, and believeth not on me, but on Him that sent me, and he that seeth me, seeth Him that sent me. If you want to look at deity, look right there. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Oh, he found me in darkness, but he didn't leave me in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I have come not to judge the world, but to save the world. Look at this. He that rejecteth me. Jesus is going into Jerusalem. He knows some are going to believe. He knows some are going to worship. He knows some are going to bless Him and praise His name. They're going to put the branches down in His way. They're going to lay their clothes on the mule's back. They're going to lay their clothes down in the street because they're deeming Him worthy of honor. But He also knows there's some that's going to betray Him. There's some that are going to reject Him. I don't know about you, but that's a lot to have on your mind as you're headed to Calvary. And the Word of God said, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we're not careful, we will get so wrapped up in ourself. That we don't have time to think the way Jesus thinks. Always of others. Others, Lord. Let this my motto be. In verse number 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same judges him in the last day. I'll read this and I'm finished this morning. Our Lord had that perseverance in his mind. He was going on. He had that preparation in his mind. He was prepared. He had a position in his mind of humility. And he had a people on his mind. And what I wanted to tell you all of that for, there's all kinds of people that he had on his mind. There's all kinds of people here today. And Jesus has you on his mind. You say, Pastor, that's just not possible. It's not only possible, it's true. The songwriter wrote years ago when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You say he couldn't know about 1987 when he was on the cross. You don't know the Lord I know. He knew about 1987 before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain. I read this and I thought I would leave you with this morning as we prepare for the invitation. The devil and his cohorts were devising plans to get people to reject the gospel. He said, let's go to them and say, there is no God. Silence prevailed. Every devil knew that most people believe in a supreme being. Another spoke up and said, let's tell them there is no hell. There's no future punishment for the wicked. That's what another said. That was turned down because men obviously have consciences which tell them that sin must be punished. The conclave was going to end in failure when there came a voice from the rear. Tell them there is a God. Tell them there is a hell. Tell them that the Bible is the Word of God. But tell them there is plenty of time to decide the question. Let them neglect the gospel until it's too late. All hell erupted with a ghoulish glee, for they knew that if a person procrastinated in Christ, they usually will never accept him. Brother Vince, you were with me the other day. That man is in eternity now, standing in the hospital. I remember telling him this about the thief. He waited till late. That man, he understood the gospel and he admitted that God was dealing with him, and I pray that something happened between now and then, but I don't know. God knows. God makes no mistakes. Nobody sneaks into heaven. And nobody accidentally goes to hell. But he said, I'm not ready. Not now. And I said, you've waited till late in your life. I said, please don't wait too late. It's a dangerous thing. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. What preacher said, Brother Dale said, I think it's yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today's all the cash you got. So spend it wisely. God's knocking at your heart's door. Jesus has got you on his mind. He had you on your mind, on his mind before the foundation of the world. He had you on his mind at the cross. He had you on his mind when he rode into Jerusalem that day. He's got you on his mind. And more than that, He's got you on His heart. He loves you. You say, where do I fit in? Only you know and God knows where you fit in that list. Loved Him, worshipped Him, betrayed Him, crucified Him, believed on Him, blessed Him, remembered Him, testified of Him. They wanted to see Him. They wanted to follow Him. They believed not on Him. And they rejected Him. When it comes to eternity, it's all about Him. It's what you do with Him. Everybody in heaven will have one thing in common. They all received Him. They all came to a place where their pride no longer mattered. They humbled their heart. They said, "Oh God, I need a Savior." Everybody in hell will have one thing in common. The same Savior that was received was rejected. I believe the illustration there's got it right. I said it to the prisoners for years, Brother Vince. The devil never tell nobody not to get saved. He just says, not now. Later. Let's pray. Father, You know the need of every heart and every life. I'm asking You this morning, Lord, to speak to hearts as only You can. While our sister plays, I wonder who's here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'd give anything if I could know my sins are forgiven. I believe Jesus loves me and I believe He died for me just like the Bible said. But I've never trusted Him as my Savior. There's something going on in my heart. Preacher, I'm just slipping my hand up and asking You to pray for me. I promise You I won't embarrass You. But would You acknowledge that You need Him this morning? I need the Lord. I know He loves me. God bless you, son. I see you."